Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
The knowledge of God's marvelous love helps you understand the blessing of Abraham. Join Kenneth Copeland today on the Believer's Voice of Victory to learn how doing things God's way brings the blessing into your life.
Now let's go back to our scripture in 1 John. And let's remind ourselves, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. That's where 99.9% of the Christian people, well, actually 100% if you really want to get down to it, 100% of us fail to believe His love anywhere close to like we should. And most Christians don't believe it at all. Now, they say they do. But really, don't. You just mentally assent to the fact that we're supposed to love one another. And oh yes, Jesus loved the little children. Isn't that good? But He really does. Even when they grow up. Amen. Oh, yeah. But when the pressure gets on, people turn just like His own staff did when the storm was going on. They went back and woke Him up and said, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" They don't believe the love. If they had been totally convinced of His love, what would they have done? They would have stood up and spoke to the storm, because He'd already told them, "Let's go to the other side." They had orders. They had word enough to do it, because Peter walked on the water on one word, "Come." He said, "If it be you, Lord, bid me come." Well, what's Jesus going to do? Say, "Well, you know, it ain't me." No. He said, "Come." And on the power of that one word, He got out of that boat and walked on that water. And He got within arm's length of Jesus, because the scripture said, beginning to sink, Jesus caught Him. He made it right there. One more step and He could have hugged Him.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. What about in the wilderness? They didn't believe God loved them. They believed He brought them out there to kill them. And they said it so many times, "He brought us out here to kill us. We're going to die in the desert. We're going to die in the desert. Oh, we're going to die in the desert. We're going to die in the desert. We're going to die in the desert. We're going to die in the desert." He finally said, "All right, die in the desert. Ain't a one of you getting out of here older than 20 years old. Your carcass, your bones will fall." Why? He couldn't do anything else. They had said it and 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 said it until a spiritual law had been established. And there's nothing that God could do about it. What do you mean He couldn't do anything about it? You mean He wouldn't do anything? No, He couldn't. Because He gave them authority. And they said, "We're going to die in the desert." So they died in the desert. And that's going on all the time. in what, you know, in one form or another. So bring it right down to it. People do it all the time. I just don't understand why God allowed this to come on me. Really? Hey, are you listening?
Yes, yes, amen.
It is never His fault. He's been around a long time, and He's got 100% track record. It ain't never been His fault. He has never been at fault. He has never been anything but love. Everything He ever did was love. For love's reason, love is behind it. Amen. Oh, I'd love to get off in there and go a while. Maybe we get back to some of that later. But now let's look at this again. We've known and believed the love that God has to us. Then if you're going to believe the love, if you've known and believed the love, then you're going to have to believe the blessing.
Amen.
You're going to have to believe that blessing is behind that commandment. Amen.
Amen.
He is saying, don't be stealing. Now, why would He tell you that? Because of the effect that it has on your inner man. Because of what it does to you and what it does to the people. And it gives Satan place in your life, and he will kill you. That's what he does for fun. So, God is saying, don't do that. You don't need to steal. I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. If you just wake up and listen to me and do what I tell you to do. If you take my commandments and obey them, look at the 112th Psalm. If you'll delight yourself in my commandments, what happens? The blessing happens. The 112th Psalm. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, or highly reverences the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. How do you delight greatly in the commandments of God? Well, in the first place, when you begin to realize just really how much He loves you and what He's done for you and what He's doing for you and what He would like to do for you, you get to where you delight in somebody like that. It's delightful to have a relationship with somebody like that that is 100% on your side all the time. You delight in that. So what do you want to do? I'd like to do whatever He needs. Amen. I'll tell you, it is such a thrill when you begin to realize that Jesus has given Himself totally and completely to you. I mean totally, absolutely, completely, without reserve. He's given you everything He has. He's given you His name. He's given you His word. He's given you His spirit. He's given you His Father.
Yes, sir.
Gave you His life.
Yes, sir.
Everything. And gave you equal share as if you never sinned. Joint heir with Him. And you just want to, like one of the old one of the old knights of old that just fall on his face before his king and say, my liege, you wish. It's my command. I'll fight your battles. I shed my blood. What can I do? I am yours to command, sir. Oh, I tell you. And He says, yes, concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. And you say, I believe I will. And he says, okay. Amen. What are you doing? You're delighting. Amen. So then what happens? Delighting greatly in his commandments, his seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. This one man's life has blessed a whole generation. Why? Because he's excited about being in business with God. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. So here's a man with a house and is filled with wealth and riches, and his righteousness is still intact. How would you like to have this guy come teach a prosperity class? Amen. He got a house and it's full of wealth and riches. I have a house. It's a nice house. And it's full of wealth and riches. And I start talking about it and people get mad. And I don't care. I didn't borrow to get it. I sure didn't steal to get it.
That's right.
Or my righteousness
would have been gone.
Still intact. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How did you get it? Giving. Sowing, reaping, giving,
Glory.
Running around with Jesus and Jesse and Jerry and Bill Krause and Bill Dennington and you know, people like that, Dennis Burke, George Pearsons, and people like that. I mean, living the commandments. Amen. Amen. Now, oh, glory. How are we doing on time, Tim? Okay. Let's go to the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Now, the first five books of the Bible are known as the Pentateuch or the Law. And look at the very first verse. It shall come to pass. I like that. It shall come to pass. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments. Now, let me tell you something that's very interesting. If you'd like to do it sometime. Just write that down. It'll come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, I will love him. My Father will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. See, that's exactly what Jesus was referring to, what we read in John 14:21. He's talking about this, delighting yourself in these commandments. But then we found out that if you walk in love, you're satisfying all this. Amen. You're satisfying all this. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you love the brethren even as I love the brethren. How can you do that? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. We got into that last week. And Jesus said in John 17 chapter, he said, in praying, he said, right before he went to the cross, he said, Father, that the love wherewith you love me may be in them and I in them. So His love, He said, you love the brethren even as I love the brethren. And then He put that same love in you with which to love the brethren. So you and I don't have any excuse. All we have to do is practice what He said.
That's right.
Yeah, but Brother Copeland, I can't do it. Yeah, you can, but you're going to have to learn how to repent. You can't do it with a spotless record unless you're smart enough to wipe the spot out when you... Don't just sit there and drool on your shirt and say, oh, no, I messed up my shirt. Well, clean it. Ding-a-ling, or excuse me. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the reason the Apostle John started 1 John, the love book, on He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins when we confess them and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, I don't care if you have to spend 99% of your day doing that. That makes the 1% productive.
That's right.
Come on. Oh, absolutely. And it isn't based on your feelings. Well, I don't know, Brother Colton. That doesn't seem right. That means I just sin and repent and sin and repent. That's better than sin and not repenting, sin and not repenting. Amen.
Amen.
It's what you practice. What you practice is what you perfect. Well, what did Jesus say about forgiving the brother? How about 490 times a day? Mm-hmm. That's what He said, wasn't it?
Amen.
Peter said seven times. He's 70. More than that. 10 times. No.
No.
No, it added up to 490 times a day. Ooh. You still forgive Him.
That's right.
Why? That's what He expects us to do with Him.
That's right.
Just keep practicing. Just keep doing it. Just keep reaching for it. Just keep going for it. Praise God. What's He going to do? Manifest Himself to you. He's teaching all the time if you give Him something to work with.
That's good.
Amen. So, and we'll get into the... into that in just a moment. We need to go here. Observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. The Lord God will set you high above all nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field. Well, if you can't get blessed in the field, go to town. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of your sheep. Now, what are we looking at here? Get your marker and put it there because we're going to bounce right back over here. But let's go back to Galatians chapter 3. And take a look at it. Verse 8. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. In thee shall all nations be blessed. Well, what is this? This is God's way of getting that blessing back that Adam threw away. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. As for me and my house, we take this. This is big in our house. For as many as are the works of the law under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that committeth not in all things, everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. That is the curse for breaking the law. Being made a curse for us. My, I told you He loved us. I told you He loved us. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, that we might receive the promise that God promised Abraham. That's what we're reading right here in Deuteronomy 28, beginning with this first verse. That's what this is. This is the blessing of Abraham. Go through the Bible and read what God promised and what God did for Abraham, because every bit of it belongs to you and me. Whoa. And it is so utterly amazing how that blessing worked and how it works today. For instance, here's Joseph. And you just follow his tracks and you watch the blessing work and you watch the curse work. Now, God had to have a prophet born in that family. That family was so dysfunctional, they had to have a prophet in it. Because, I mean, God is going to build the nation of Israel out of this mess. And so there had to be a prophet come into the family. Well, they got mad at him. He had a dream, but you notice he had it twice. See, he had the dream and then he had confirmation of the dream. And once he dreamed it twice, it was embedded in him and it brought faith. Well, they decided that they're just going to kill him. So they throw him in a hole. And then they got to talking. Uh-huh. Let's go get him out of the hole and we'll sell him. And they went to get him out of the hole and he was gone. Because some other folk got him. See, they can't prosper for not prospering. I mean, why didn't they kill him in the first place? Because his brother got to thinking, after all, he's our brother. What is happening? The blessing's working on him. The blessing's on Joseph, but it's working on him.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.